Welcome to Rudderless, the podcast where two friends with zero credentials give completely rudderless advice. I'm Ty, and I'm here with Nathan.
Sideshow things where the dude is naked and just like covered in ink.
I haven't gone that far yet.
No, yeah.
I don't think I will. I like...
They make bodysuits like that for women at least, so...
Oh, they do?
I'm coming up with a whole new shtick for you.
Okay. Hey. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm just about to fidget and make a bunch of noise because that's what I always do when we start doing this.
That's true. My dog is licking my foot. Can you hear it?
Yes.
Gross. It's gross. I just took her cone off for a little break, and she now wants to lick everything.
Yeah, what's the update on Stella? So she lost her big tooth, her front tooth, right?
Yeah, she lost actually both lower canines, so she no longer looks tough. It's pretty sad.
She looks cute, though. I saw a photo of her in a hammock that was really cute.
Oh, yeah. Whenever I'm in the hammock, she has to get right in there with me. And then I can't swing in it anymore. But then I have my cozy dog, and it's just like heaven.
But you have to be perfectly still.
Yeah, I have to be pretty still. She doesn't really like the rocking thing. I realized being in the hammock is some kind of therapeutic feeling for me. And I don't know if it's that way for everyone. And they make two different types of hammocks. And I have the like Brazilian type that doesn't have those weird rods at the end. So it just kind of cradles you.
Like you're the banana in the banana skin. Yeah.
Yes. You are the edamame in the soy pod.
That's more appropriate because there's multiples of you. Yeah. You and Stella.
Yeah. But I really recommend getting a hammock to anyone who has the space and means to get one. They're very soothing.
Where did you get yours?
Oh, I got the actual hammock part at Target, and I think I just got the hardware, like the, I forgot what it's called, the thing that holds up the hammock stand, that's what it's called. I think I just got it on some like big box website for cheap, and it's a compact version, so it's only 9 feet long, so that's good.
It's only 9 feet. That seems like that would be sufficient for most people who aren't NBA players.
Yeah, but there's a lot of rope that is between the ends of the hammock and the stand. So anyway, yeah. I actually need advice on this, and I don't think it's advice that you're going to know what to give. So I would love to get advice from any listeners. I really want flowers in my backyard, but I'm, let's just say, extremely lazy. I don't have the capacity to like level the yard and remove all the grass. And I don't even know. I don't know where to start. What I want to do is just throw seeds down and then let rain happen, and then suddenly my backyard is like a fairy garden land, magical.
Okay. So this is actually not... Yeah, well, first of all, screw those people, because I'm here.
Okay.
Show me what you got. I have nothing, per usual, but my mom is a fantastic gardener, and I think if we manage to stay profanity-free for the first 20 minutes or so, I will let her know that she should listen to this and tell you what to do. Her backyard is amazing. It's got vegetables and plants, and I think she's got flowers. Like she's sort of terraformed the whole thing. What was basically just a backyard to be like old McDonald's farm or something. So there's sheep back there.
There
There's a
are.
sheep. There's a sheep dog running around. I swear I saw a sheep. She might argue with me on that one. But yeah, the last time she listened to it, she told me she couldn't listen. She listened for like 2 seconds and then just couldn't go on because of the profanity. So we're going to keep it clean for you, Mom. And
I mean,
up
I
until a
try.
point.
I
It
just,
well,
I'm
it was
not.
most, I mean, to be fair, it was your foul mouth that she was referencing. No, it was both of us.
Yes, I take exception to that. No, I haven't had to watch my mouth in my entire life, basically. I grew up swearing like a sailor, courtesy of my dad. And I don't really know how to flag those words before I say them, but I'll try. It's been hard because now I'm tutoring, and I use that word very loosely, a 7-year-old girl, like 4 hours a week. And I keep, well, I was just about to say a word, a swear word that I keep saying. But anyway, I'm just like swearing around her and just like, oh my God, this job has more aspects than I'm really prepared to handle. Like a lot of boundary body stuff.
Oh, really? Like, is the
Yeah.
child pushing you? Or I'm assuming that you're not pushing the child.
No,
Like,
no.
you're not getting all up in
She's
the kid's grill, like, hey, what are you gonna do about it, son? Like, pushing her around and
she's
stuff.
like contacting, yeah, she's putting herself, she's contacting my body with her hands. And yeah. So gonna work with her on boundaries, but it's a whole new level to be like, stop feeling me up. You know? Yeah.
Kids.
I know. I just explain it by like her parents are pretty thin and I have like more mass and she's just fascinated by this corporeal form.
That's interesting. So you're this strange new alien species that she's never seen. She didn't know they could make humans that didn't look like mom and dad, kind of thing.
Well, she's never had like boobs so close to her before, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. But she also makes comments like wanting to peel people's skin off and eat it and eat their eyes. Yeah.
Yeah,
So.
we've talked about that.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, just, I mean, that's like, I don't know. I find it really encouraging somehow. Like,
I keep being like, wow, I could really like I can easily see how I could manipulate her into doing more of her schoolwork. I don't want to do that, but I could. I was like, this is horrible, but I was like, wow, I could also really encourage these like dark passions of hers that are, I could tell her about exfoliation and Silence of the Lambs, maybe.
I was thinking of that one right off the bat. Yeah.
And the other day
Listen,
she
today
hugged
we're gonna
me.
watch Silence of the Lambs. How old is she? Like 7?
Yeah.
I wasn't too much older than that when I saw Silence of the Lambs, and yeah,
Yeah,
I think
same.
it's time. She's more
I
ready
think
than I
so.
was.
Oh yeah, she's so ready. It's gonna be right up her alley. Yeah, I saw a thread online today, like, what is the most inappropriate movie you watched at the youngest age or whatever? So, I don't know. I saw The Exorcist when I was 12, and I think that scared me the most.
Yeah, I could see that
But,
really scaring
yeah.
you, like specifically you. I can see that
Yeah.
really messing with
Yeah,
you.
very. Yeah, with the religion that I was raised in and everything. So, but I actually, the first movie I remember watching, I was probably 4 years old, and it was Faces of Death. Do you know that one?
Yeah, they made a million of those. But you saw
I saw the
one of them when,
original.
when you were way too young. Because after a
With
while,
like
they just started throwing collections of like whatever grossest stuff they could find, and they would call it Faces of Death 7 or whatever. And they're all awful, but yeah, those first couple are. How old were you?
Four?
Yeah, no. Oh
I
my God, who
know.
showed you that at
My
four?
dad.
I'm not
I
old enough to
remember,
see that
like,
now, and I'm like 84.
yeah, I just remember sitting like 2 feet away from the TV and being made to watch it. And some point in that apartment, he also offered me cocaine. So,
Dad did?
yeah.
Huh.
I don't. yeah, who knows? People are funny, man. Okay,
I'm
are you
not
ready
gonna
for
be
some?
able to. I am, because I'm not. I can't not swear anymore with Dad showing Faces of Death and offering you cocaine. Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy and good riddance. All right. All right.
So,
This
yeah.
one, yeah, this one resonates for me for the past. It's titled, Is Life Worth Living After 18? I'm turning 18 soon and feel like I've wasted my teenage years. I've had good memories, but I haven't done a lot of things like go to parties or get into relationships like most people my age. I've got a good group of friends, but I don't think I've lived my youth to the fullest. I must have only been to about 5 parties in my life, and I've only kissed 2 girls ever. I've been diagnosed with depression and anxiety, and I often feel anxious about trying new things. I'll never get these days back, and it's upsetting me hugely.
What did you think about that one?
I mean, it's very dramatic, and it's really like almost bizarrely short-sighted.
It's very, very much a question that you would ask at that particular age, I feel like.
No, I mean, I would have, no, because
I don't
let's
mean you
see.
personally, I just mean like it's very of that age to worry that sort of
Oh,
thing.
yeah, it's very of that age. Well, I think part of the problem is our culture values youth so much that, and so many idiots are always telling teenagers these are the best years of your life. Like,
Nope.
fuck that. Sorry, Mom.
Oh no, we're past that. Yeah, we're
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Make a note of the timestamp.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, this is just like a over the top example of how much our culture idolizes youth and worships youth. What the fuck? Like, that's just the beginning. Like, you're a baby. I would say get out a fucking calculator, look up online the average life expectancy for someone of your sex, your race, born in your year, and I'm betting it's going to be in the 80s. And so calculate like how much life you have lived so far of that. And I mean, I think it's good to be aware of mortality, but life doesn't end after 18. It's not all horrible. Mine got so much better.
Yeah, I mean it doesn't end. Yeah, I don't think it, I mean, it doesn't necessarily get better, but it changes. You have different periods, and some are high and some are low. But yeah, I mean, unless you're like, I don't know, I was gonna say like a cheerleader or like the captain of the football team, but you were a cheerleader and your life got way better after that age, right?
I think I did like dance squad in 8th grade, but yeah, that wasn't cheering. I always did things like a half beat behind other people because I was so fucking apathetic about it.
Like actually in like you were slow in your timing or
Just like a fraction of a second behind other people because I had this like languid nature to my movements, and we're supposed to be all like peppy and poppy and sharp and stuff. And I'd just kind of be like, yeah, I'll move my hips this way, I guess. I'll take this next step, I guess. It's just like the least enthusiastic encouragement ever, probably.
It does seem like the wrong attitude
It's the wrong, yeah.
for
I
cheer.
don't know. I think my dad wanted me to do that, so I did it.
Of
So,
course,
yeah,
yeah.
he great advice. He really wanted me to be a cheerleader.
Man.
Yeah, so anyway, well, I mean, my life got better because I didn't, like, everything was so fucked up and in my family, and I really didn't think I would live past 18. Like, I didn't have visions for what I would do or anything. So when I got there and got out of the house, I was just like, holy shit, what the fuck? I am here now on my own. Like, the fuck do I do? But it was nice to be out of that environment and to have more agency and fewer triggers, I guess. Anyway, I mean, this person, like, it might be a stretch to like idolize your 60s, but you can at least, like, if you're turning 18, at least idolize the 20s. Like, that's very accepted as like go to more parties and kiss more girls if that's what you value, but maybe you don't fucking value that and like you should stop comparing yourself to these other people, supposedly most people your age. You don't need to like fit into the smack dab middle of normalcy for what most people are doing of your age.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly relate to thinking that you've not accomplish certain things by certain times or whatever, but it's also, I mean, the people who got everything they wanted in high school are not going to be that cool 10 years or 20 years from now to you.
Oh yeah, it's
Like
kind of
if that was their peak, that's a really early peak, man. It's like, and then it's just downhill from there. I don't think I'd take it that way.
A long road of boredom, disappointment, discontent, and confusion about what the fuck you did to your life. Yeah. I know someone like that who was, I don't know if she was a cheerleader or what, but she was very popular in high school, very active, very like positive, and just kind of doing everything everyone else wanted her to do. And she thought I was like the worst because I couldn't be fake. I couldn't like fake going along with things or being happy or whatever. So she just thought I was like the absolute worst at the time, as far as I could tell. And I met up with her maybe 12 years later. I don't know. I met up with her in my 30s. So she was in her 40s then, I think. And she was like, I thought you were the problem, but you were actually the one telling the truth the whole time. I was like, okay, Jesus Christ. Okay, so she's having some kind of midlife crisis, having to deal with now things in her 40s that happen in our house when we were kids, which is rough. And then the last time I checked in with her, she was just like, no, things are completely different for me now in like a really bad way. So, yeah, don't idolize people. Everyone has their own individual trajectory, their own like pit to dig themselves out of and all that. Do you want to move on?
Yeah,
Okay.
let's do another one. Let me just make a note of that where I just got really weird and silent for a long time.
Okay, thanks. I was like, what's going on with you? Come
I
back to
thought I
me.
had something else to say, but I couldn't remember what it was, so I just kind of
Oh,
let it
okay.
hang.
Okay, I thought you were like horrified at how much I was rambling or what I was saying, so.
No, I just spaced out. I clearly
Okay, cool.
I've been up since 7, so I'm it's kind of like I'm a little bit high or something. I don't know.
It's kind of like I am too, because I took both my amphetamine pill and
Oh, okay.
clonazepam. Yeah.
Oh, that's like a magic eight ball of prescription drugs.
Yeah, it's basically what do they call those? The cocaine and the heroin at the same
Speedball.
time? Speedball. Yeah, it's like the prescription drug speedball.
Nice.
Great.
Which means that
Yeah.
it's healthy and good for you, so.
Oh, yeah, it's the best. They're all prescribed. Okay, ready for next question? By the way, in my sobriety program, this is just a side note of something I'm struggling with right now. I really love many of the people in my sobriety program. Like,
That's
they
good.
make my heart, they make my heart glow. I care about them. They inspire me. We support each other. And so saying I love you to them is so common. Like I feel like I used to never say I love you to someone, but now I'm saying it all the time, and it's to the point where it's kind of an automatic response. So it's like before I say goodbye to someone. So every time I'm in therapy, ending it, we're like, okay, see you next week. Have a good week. And I'm almost about to be like, love you to my therapist.
Yeah,
Oh.
that's a thing in some of the circles that I run into. Not my particular circle, but there's a group of really long-term people who've been in like intensive therapy for like 3 to 6 months to even like a year, like inpatient. And in that program, like all those, I'm gonna say dudes because they are all dudes, tell each other that they love each other all the time. And
Oh,
that's
wow.
it really like it's still like it's hard for me to get used to because I'm just not used to it. So I fully
Yeah.
get what you mean.
Yeah, when I
Yeah,
went
they'll
into
just be
this
like
group.
walking out the door. They'll be like, "All right, man, love you. See you later, buddy."
Yeah, when I first started my program and saw people saying they loved each other, I was like, oh my God, like, give me a fucking break. Like, you love these strangers just for saying a nice comment, but they got me. So,
No, it's good. It engenders like a real sense of belonging, and
yeah.
it's good to like express care for each other and not, I don't know, it's just something that a lot of people didn't grow up with or aren't used to. I'm not used to. I don't know.
Yeah, I was thinking, I took a class on grief and loss in grad school in my counseling program, and we had to do three different exercises, like imagining or designing or experiencing our own deaths. And the one that changed my life slightly, but importantly, was the design your own death exercise where we had to write like a 2 or 3 page paper, I think, on how we would ideally like to die and the circumstances and the people around us and whatnot. And I realized like what I wanted was all the people I care about and my friends and such around me, so I could tell them how grateful I was for them, like throughout my life, and how much I love them throughout my life. So I wrote this fucking paper and was like, well, that's nice, but we don't actually get to choose our own deaths most of the time. So why am I planning to wait to the end of my life to tell people that I care about that I care about them?
Yeah, that's really sweet.
I just felt like I was withholding, like my life was stunted without this thing, and I only discovered it by doing this bizarre exercise. So, anyway.
What was that
Sorry.
for? Was that like a writing class or?
No, it was for a counseling class on
Okay.
grief and
Right,
loss.
right.
All right, next question. Help! My boyfriend has been recording the sound in my bedroom. Juicy. So, yesterday I was on the floor in my bedroom doing some morning yoga when I noticed something dark under my bed. Obviously, I pulled it out to check what it was and realized that it was my boyfriend's bag in which he keeps his toothbrush and so on. I immediately got a funny feeling thinking that it was an odd place to find it, but didn't think so much of it and that he probably dropped it without realizing. Later in the evening, when I was cleaning, I found some other stuff that he had forgotten and thought I would put them in the bag as well. As I did, I noticed a strange device in the bag, and the funny feeling in my stomach came back. It seemed to be some kind of electric device, which felt like an odd thing to store together with your shampoo and toothbrush. It was like a little black box shaped thing with holes for a charging cable and some text on it. I pulled it up and Googled the writing. Turns out it contains a SIM card and a microphone so that you can make a call to it and then be able to hear everything within 10 meters or so of the device.
Oh, wow.
I'm freaked out. This thing has been here since at least the last time he was here, which was Sunday night. I'm gonna confront him tonight. I've been able to find the number for the SIM card in the device by calling the manufacturer, so I'm thinking I'll ask to see his phone then to check if and how much he's been listening to me. But what more can I do? My heart is beating at 200 and I can't think straight. Is there any reasonable explanation that this is not what I think and that he might have a reason for putting it there? And what if there are more things he's been hiding here, like cameras? Is there any way to find out? What should I do?
So this was in like a dop kit with like his toothbrush and that type of stuff.
Yeah, under your bed.
He's a perv and he's trying to listen and maybe catch you in something and I mean, unless he's, I don't know, a private investigator and he just left his recording device with his toothbrush when he stayed over last time.
Right. Maybe he works for the CIA and he just
Could be.
forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never know. That would be a valid explanation, maybe.
Why would he keep that? I mean, does he normally keep all that other stuff under the bed? No, because she'd never seen it under there before.
Yeah, well, she'd never noticed it under there
Okay.
before, so it might have been there before, but she just didn't look over that way.
I think we should assume
Because.
the worst. Let's assume the worst.
This is pretty clear cut, like, what is it, Occam's razor? Like, the simplest explanation is the best, or the most likely, or
Most likely,
whatever.
yeah.
Yeah, this guy, yeah, that's a big no, and. You don't need to confront him. Keep the device. Give his bag back, if that. Just fucking never let him in your house again. telling me you never want to talk to him again. This is just a major, major boundary violation. And I think you should basically treat him like you would treat a stalker at this point. Because that is so fucked up.
Yeah, so don't keep the device. Throw the device off a highway overpass or something.
Well, I want to get the SIM card and, like, you know, if this, depending on the resources this person has, like, you could get the SIM card and maybe, I don't know, find some friendly hacker on the internet or something to hack into it. I don't know.
I don't know. That's too much work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. Anyway, yeah.
Drown it, set the whole thing on fire, get it out of your house, and don't ever talk to him again.
Yeah.
And he's not allowed to talk to you either, obviously.
You know what would be fun is if she knew when he was calling in, then she could do a number of things. She could pretend to be having wild sex with someone else, which is probably like what he's, you know, and just torture him that way. Or she could also just, like, rant and rave about him and how, like, fucked up he is, you know, to
which
the device.
He's also probably kind of expecting.
Oh, yeah, maybe if he gets, yeah.
I mean, if he's trying to catch her in something or other.
Oh my god. You know what you could do is just create hours and hours and hours of content. Get like the longest fucking book, like Proust, and read Proust aloud and just make him want to like claw his ears out.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Or like, you know, get like a Mersbau box set and cue it all up to play for 300 hours directly into the recorder or something like that.
Yes! That's the winning idea. That's it. That's our advice. Okay. Oh my god, I love that. Yeah. I remember when I used to listen to Mersbau.
Yeah. It's legit. It's legit noise.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw him just randomly in Netherlands. I was on tour. Yeah, it was in the Netherlands, and I had a night off, and he was playing like a festival. And it was one of the loudest shows that I've ever seen. And it was just him sitting there with a couple laptops, which generally I would like turn my nose up at and say isn't a real live performance or something. But
yeah.
It was so loud that my mind couldn't think of anything else. I just had to like close my eyes and be in the sound. It was pretty amazing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It just obliterated my conscious, my subconscious, whatever. I was just in the noise.
I had that as a Swan show. I was in the front row. I was standing, obviously, so there aren't rows, but I was like right next to the stage, and the feeling in my body was just like being at one with the music, the sounds.
That's so cool.
Yeah, they were just doing amazing like little drone passages and such. Then that big gong, have you seen them use that?
Thor. Yeah. Thor, their percussionist, has all that cool shit.
Yeah, amazing. Anyway.
Cool. Well, maybe we should wrap it up for now.
I think so, because each of us, I feel like we would be floating like in a peaceful lake in a rowboat with no oars right now, kind of rudderless. That's like the mood right now. So, yeah.
I like it. Let's leave it there.
All right.
Okay, I will talk to you later.
You hang up.
No, you hang up.
Bye.
Bye.
That's it for this week, and thank you for listening. We want to hear your questions and also your opinions. You can get in touch with us on Instagram at RudderlessPod. Email us at rudderlesspod@gmail.com or leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/rudderless. And if you like this, please, please rate and review in the iTunes or Apple Podcasts. That just helps us get noticed. If you want our book recommendations throughout all our episodes, you can find those on our Instagram bio under the link Bookshop.